hard for me, but to ask you, how do you feel this 4 months? Are you affected emotionally, physically, mentally? My coworkers tell me that when the crisis started, they cannot sleep. And now lately, they cannot get enough of sleep. They just can't get out of bed. I'm sure all of you have the same feelings. The University of Hong Kong had a survey a few months ago, just after the crisis started, and it said that one in nearly 10 people feel depressed. And I'm sure the figures are right. And it says that the rate of depression was twice that of Occupy Central 5 years ago. And you read the papers this week, there's another study by the U of Hong Kong that corresponds to the WHO index about how people are doing in the mental health of Hong Kong people. They surveyed 109 residents aged 15 and above about how their work, study, family, and social issues have affected them. Now, the passing index will be from 0 to 100, 52 as the passing score. Above 72 shows a very good status. Last year, not this year, the middle score is 52, passing score. Last year, Hong Kong had a score of 50.2. And just this week, it came out with the latest score. And do you know how? What's the score now? It's gone down 46.41, the lowest since the survey started. Today, I want to talk about the passage given me by the church was Prophet Elijah. It's hard enough to preach on Sundays. I tell you, it's not easy for pastors to come up to preach. But to preach on a very passage that cuts to everybody's heart. One of the greatest prophets in the Bible is Elijah, if not the greatest. And he had his work cut out for him as a prophet. It's not easy. He battled the idolatrous queen Jezebel. And he battled her foreign prophets and priests. And he had to pull even his idolatrous Israelites, his own people, who did not want to follow the Lord or want to hear from him. Elijah's name appears 29 times in the New Testament, half that of King David, who is very, very prominent. So you can see he is a very central figure in the Bible. But today we're talking about a prophet. When Stephen, who was martyred in Acts, died, Stephen asked this question: was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? To do the work of God is very, very hard. No wonder even the Iron Man of Elijah, facing the threatening Jezebel, he ran for his life. He fled to the desert. And finally, he found a cave to hide himself. With all his legendary miracles in the Bible, and with all the victories that he had over Jezebel and the prophets who threatened that he had already killed all the prophets. With all his victories, Elijah, known as a prophet, in the Bible is known as the man of God, and is known as forerunner of the Messiah, even a person of that status. He faced the loneliest time of his life, the darkest and the saddest part of his life. At this lowest point, he could think of nothing but to run away, and he gave up. Now, this is the question facing of Hong Kong, facing you and I. Why do godly people, why do believers, why do even Pastor Yap at this time feel sometimes resigned to what we can do. If you are in any ministry of some kind, whether in church, whether in the government, or whether just talking to your parents, sometimes you feel there's nothing you can do. And why do we have that feeling sometimes? Why do we feel that we cannot do anything? And what can you do as a believer when you feel discouraged, when you feel deserted, and sometimes even depressed? What can we do when all these doubts creep in? Today, that's the topic I want to talk about. What do you do? How can you be able to sustain yourself, the people around you, and to be able to focus on what God is doing in your life? First of all, we understand that God's power is perfected in peace. Okay. Even at the most chaotic times, God's peace is present. Okay, let's read again let's read 7 and 8, since we already read verses 1 through 6. Go to 7 and 8. Do we have the PowerPoint? 7 and 8? Can you go to 7 and 8? Okay. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. The great reformer Martin Luther, once he spent 3 days in a black depression over something that had gone wrong. And in those days, a lot of things were wrong. And on the third day, finally, his wife came downstairs dressed in mourning, or dressed in weeping and mourning clothes. So the reformer and pastor were surprised and asked the wife, "Who's dead? Why are you dressed like that?" And she said, "God. God is dead." Martin Luther was furious and rebuked her. "What do you mean God is dead? God cannot die." And the wise and direct speaking wife said, "Well, the way you've been acting, I was sure he had died." God's not dead. But because we have no hope in God, sometimes we feel God is dead. The story began with Jezebel the queen. He called Elijah's bluff and threatened him. Elijah the prophet, his world fell apart and turned upside down. Elijah sent a messenger. If you were Jezebel, Jezebel sent a messenger and threatened to kill him. If you really meant it, you would not threaten. You already sent the messenger. So it was a message to Elijah. A message enough to make him run. Just like all of us, we feel like we just want to run. Half of people in Hong Kong want to leave Hong Kong. Okay? The same way Elijah felt very, very threatened. He felt there's nothing he can do. He had done his best, he felt. He said, "Give it to another person." So he ran. But Elijah's fear was real. It was raw to him. And he was a prophet. We know in Bible, run for the life and fear for the worst. Now, in the Bible translation, they did not know what to do with Elijah's fear. It says Elijah was afraid, right? Uh-huh. The afraid in the Bible can be fear. It can be translated as see. The two words can be fear, can be translated as fear or see. So some Bibles translate as, because in the Hebrew there are no vowels. There are no A-E-I-O-U. So they have the same letters. So some translate it as Saul. And some people translate it as fear. Why did the people not want to translate it as fear, but why they translate it as Saul? Saul for his life. Because you cannot imagine a prophet want to run away out of fear, right? You tell me that Pastor Yap will be the first one to run. I know you believe it, okay? But that won't be nice. That won't be courageous. That won't be a man of faith, right? And so the same way, a lot of people didn't want to translate. Instead, King James is Saul instead of fear. And it's very hard for Elijah. This man of steel suddenly had this very, very primitive feeling that he wanted to go away. He didn't want to be the sacrifice for what has gone wrong. Okay? So he ran away because, and the important thing about this fear is that Elijah had met the husband many times, who's called Ahab. Remember over Naboth? But Elijah in the Bible had never met Jezebel. Never met each other face to face. So it's beautiful. This shadowy figure, this sinister figure, and this spiteful Jezebel he had never met. The words were enough to make him run. Isn't that true? Right? How many of you have done the same? We would have, right? But that happened to him. Okay? And because the wonderful thing is Jezebel wanted to avoid Elijah as much as Elijah wanted to avoid Jezebel. They were both afraid of each other. So the best way is to threaten. And that was enough to send Elijah going to the spin. Why do we take flight? Because we forget God's perfect peace is available. But I tell you, this time of crisis, have you prayed for God's peace to be in your life? Have you prayed for God's peace with the protesters? Have you prayed for God's peace with the police or with the politicians? I tell you, honestly, it's very hard because you gave up. We gave up a lot, right? And Elijah also forgot that God's peace available to him. And he panicked. And he ran. And also another thing is that at this time, something happened to Elijah too, like many of us. He did not think that God cared for him or God understood how much he has to bear for God's people. And you know what? The Lord cared. What did the Lord provide for him? A cake and a jar of water. What's the significance of the cake? Okay. The significance of the cake, if you're going to go back to 1 Kings 7:13, two chapters before, when he met the widow, and he ordered the widow to bake him what? A cake. That's his favorite food. He got to bake him something else, but he wanted a cake. That's the same word in Hebrew. And God supplied him the same thing. We call it comfort food. Remember Ratatouille? The comfort food. He remembered the comfort food. And God gave him a jar of water so that he can sustain himself. And God showed to him that he really cared for him, but not the same way that he taught. And the water will be enough for him to sustain himself the next 40 days. And that's very inspiring because God knows how we feel. God knows you want to run to the desert. God knows you want to run to the mountain. So God knows how many days of water he needs to sustain himself. And so he knew he was going to Horeb, which is the mountain of God. He knew how much food he needed, pick the right cake for him. And he knew how much he had to travel, which was 40 days. So God knew. Just at the darkest time in our life, we feel that God doesn't know your feelings of fear, your feelings of frustration, your feelings of forsakenness. God has already prepared for you. Maybe it's through food, maybe it's through friends, or maybe it's through fellowship. But God is always there for us. His perfect peace is always available. And the second point I want to talk about is God's power is not only perfected in peace, but God's power is perfected in patience. You have to be patient. Okay? Verses 9 through 14. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. There he went in the cave and spent the night. And the word of God came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire. But the Lord is not in the fire. Let's take the next PowerPoint. What is the best way to avoid depression? Okay, some say the best way is through whole foods diet, herbal supplementation, and moderate exercise. Some say do mechanical work. Run, exercise, clean your home, walk, whatever you can think of. And some said to help others. Some say start realizing the world is much bigger than what we are worrying about. Some say to be happy. Some say be on your own or with help from loving friends and family. How do you solve a crisis that Elijah was facing? Such a momentous crisis. Long ago, there's a Chinese idiom that says that to untie the ring that is around the tiger's neck, what's the best way? To find the person who tied the ring around the tiger's neck. What it means is that you have to go to the source to find out where your problem is coming from. So what was Elijah's problem? Was Elijah's problem Ahab? Was his problem Jezebel? Was his problem the lack of people around him? No. It was a crisis of confidence in God and what he's doing. He did not think he had the strength to continue anymore, and he did not think that God can help him. That's his crisis. He did not believe that God was in charge or in control of the world, just as many of us feel at this point. So what did he do? Verse 9, he spent a night in the cave. Actually, in the original version, there's no night. he didn't intend to spend one night. The original version sometimes can be translated as tarry, T-A-R-R-Y, which sometimes in the Bible, John 15, abide in me and I in you. That's the same word. So how long do you want to stay in the cave? He just didn't plan to get up. It's that moment you wake up in the morning, you don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to hear any call from any friends or family. See? So it was a sign that he had given up. It was indefinite. Okay? Elijah had passion, lots of passion. But what Elijah did not have was this word, patience. God, I want you to solve Hong Kong's crisis for me. Not 4 months. Maybe most 4 days. We're talking about 4 months. We don't have patience for 4 months. But the crisis continues, right? But we don't have the patience. We don't know what the Lord is doing. What happened? Verse 11. A great and powerful wind. Now, you think God would appear. If God were to tell you something, how is he going to tell you? In a great and powerful wind. But the Lord was not there. It tore and shattered everything, the rocks and everything. But the Lord was not in there. Was not the earthquake. What's most fascinating, this is the first time in the Bible there was an earthquake. Now, this earthquake debuted in the Bible, the Lord should have been there, right? If anything else, he should be in the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. He had passion and planning. And he thought that because of his passion, God would reveal to him in the same passionate way. But the Lord didn't. And what happened, the next element? Fire. He knew fire because he battled the prophets, the false prophets, with fire before. He said, by now, the Lord must be able to show himself again, just like he did many, many times before. But the Lord was not in the fire. Where was the Lord? He was in a still, small voice. He was in that gentle whisper. And that gentle whisper would be something like, trust in me. Keep your faith. Be strong. He wanted to have this power to be able to defeat all his enemies again. But the Lord said, no. Your power is perfected in patience. See what the Lord will do, not what you can do. We are all instruments of God. To be calm, to be clear about what your role is. You know the thing about prophet, like just any of us who are servants of God, all we have to do is declare God's word. Your role is not to deliver God's people. Just declare. You are just a spokesman. You are not the solution. You know, Pastor Yap has 10 books published in Chinese. I'm not the solution. I can only say what the Lord impressed on me. And you're just a seer. You're just seeing things. Be wise, but you're not the Savior. You cannot be the Savior. Ask God how you can work. The prophet's role is sometimes to rebuke and reproach, but never to rescue. Only God does the rescuing. And as God's prophet, as many of us know, we have to expect rejection and not just the reception from people. It is not welcoming sometimes to speak on God's behalf when God wants you to speak something. But when God wants you to speak, it's always worthwhile. But be careful how you speak. This week already, a few people had an appointment with me talking about who's wrong and who's right. And I always tell them, don't think that way. Think of how to pray for them to get off the mess. Don't be in the role of a prophet and playing the role of God. Just pray for them to have the peace to understand or to pray how to get out of this big mess we are in. We are all to be bridges, channels of peace. I just don't want to get into any conversation with people who's right and who's wrong. Tell me how to get out. That's what I want to do. Okay, I will want to be that still small voice. I don't want to be that earthquake, fire, and I don't want the wind to tell people with force what to do, what to do. I just want to be a gentle wind to calm them down and to be able to come out of the situation. It's terrible. Even last night I was talking to a co-worker whose children on the other side. So families are splintered, so splintered nowadays. But remember, it's not through force. It's always about patience. It's not to power or passion. It's always in the patience of God's work. The third point. God's power is not only perfected in peace, in patience, but finally in partnership. You cannot do it alone. Nobody can. Verses 15 to 18. Let's read together. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint. King over Israel, anoint. Yes, prophet. Jehu will put to death any who had escaped the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I will reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. You know, this is the 11th year I've been in Hong Kong. I'm not a Hong Konger, okay? I was born in Malaysia, and God gave me the opportunity to go to USA, to Dallas Seminary, and I stayed in Dallas for USA for 21 years. But my wife is from Hong Kong. And all she wanted to do after teaching 7 years university in USA, she wanted to come home to Hong Kong. And I, the very, very mild husband, decided to come back with her. But she passed away 3 years ago. Anyway, when we first came to Hong Kong, we didn't know where to live because my wife went to Canada when she was a teenager for high school. And so we met this guy in USA at a conference, and he said he was coming back to Hong Kong to ministry too. And so I told him my two jobs as a seminary was to be in Tsim Sha Tsui and to Yuen Long. So where should I live? Huh? Not MTR, I'm not the terminal man, okay. Said, why don't you try Mei Fu? Okay? And Mei Fu, there's a quaint little place called Qing Lai Yun. Do you know where it is? Mei Fu, you have to go to the West Rail, right? Near to West Rail, and there's the Qing Lai Yun. So we were absolutely like foreigners. We just did what he asked us to do. Went to the center line or whatever that is, okay, and they brought us this Qing Lai Yun. And after 1 year there, we couldn't stand it. Why? Who has been to Qing Lai Yun before? Huh? Okay. Our new senior pastor, Reverend Keith Lai, once I told him that Ching Lai Yun has lived there 1 year, he said, huh? Why do you stay there? That's for retirees. and in the summer, all those old men without the singlets will sit in the stool with their legs propped up and a fan in their hands. That's how retirement is, okay? And Elijah really wanted to retire. Young man once asked a sad and lonely man this question: what is life's heaviest burden? What's the heaviest burden in life? The sad and lonely man gave this wise answer: to have nothing to carry. That's the saddest and loneliest thing in life. To have nothing to carry. Do you know last year I had a stroke? At a young age of 58, okay. Just 4 days before my birthday. And Pastor Peter came to see me. All my good friends came to see me. And you know the wise thing I said to them when they first came to me? Yun loi. That's the line I keep telling everybody. To have something to do in life is better than have nothing to do. Do you guys feel like giving up now? Do you think you guys are doing a heavy thing? That's how Elijah felt. But you know, like us who have gone through, and this is nothing compared to my stroke. I was in the hospital 4 days, cannot get out of bed. And you have all those dice, summer, charging at you wanting to change your diapers. Isn't anything harder than that for a man? But of course, I said, no, I can do it myself. But to have nothing to do, to have something to do is better than nothing to do. And Elijah didn't feel that way. And so what did, let's see the next PowerPoint. Do you see it? There are three I's, Elijah said. He was at this point just focusing on himself. What? I am no better than my ancestors. Comparison. Somebody else. Number two, I have been very jealous for the Lord God Almighty. Just now was him and other people. Now is him and the Lord. Lord, I published 10 books. Lord, I take care of the English, Mandarin, and the Indonesian. I have been very jealous for the Lord, my God. In fact, very zealous in Hebrew is not very jealous. I have been zealous, repetition of the word. Intensity, okay? And finally, himself. I am the only one left. He was trapped into this thinking that he alone is doing all the job. That's sometimes how we feel too, right? Nobody understands me. I'm the only one doing the job. The quintessential lone ranger, okay? The lonesome cowboy, the friendless male. And in fact, the person he appointed next was Elijah. And you know, Elisha, thank you. How was Elijah different from Elisha? As you read chapter 20, you'll find that Elisha is the team member that Elijah never was. Never. Elijah was the person who would do it all by himself. But Elisha would always have a team of prophets with him who shouted to him, "Oh, prophet, our axe has drowned in the sea. What do we do?" They're always like chit-chatting to him. And they kept him alive. And you know, why I live why I stay at Yanfu, one of the reasons is all because of co-workers. They always chit-chat to me, okay? They always banter with me, okay? And everybody gets to be zinged by me in English, okay? But Chinese, I don't know how to type as fast as them, okay? And so we have this feeling that that we do it by ourselves. We have this feeling that the Lord depends on us. We have this feeling that others are not pulling their weight. Have you ever felt that way? And that's how Elijah felt. And the Lord said, don't worry, okay? First of all, I have another person to help you out. God didn't replace him, okay? Just God gave him somebody to help him out. And the second thing, God wanted to change his way of thinking. When he said, I alone am left. What did the Lord say to him? How many people are left? 7,000. Okay. Sometimes you have that feeling that you yourself is doing the thing. Without me, the pulpit will be empty. The praise team, nobody will sing. The members not coming. It's not true. It is God's work. In USA, I led a church of 70 people on a good day for 10 years. And the Lord wants to put me in a place where I can do my writing. And you know, the Lord can use anybody. Don't think too high of yourself, but of course, don't put yourself down too. Okay. And he said that, in fact, he shouldn't have think that way. Because just one chapter before, you see another person by name Obadiah. This Obadiah is a general or a captain in the opposite camp, the Ahab's camp. And he was sent to capture Elijah. Okay. And he said to Elijah, Don't think bad of me. Don't call fire to come down on me. Because I have hidden prophets in the cave. I've hidden as many. I'm the good guy in the authorities. I cannot say government now, okay? Very bad. I'm the good guy on the wrong party, okay? And I kept 100 prophets alive. Just one chapter ago. But Elijah forgot that. He thinks that he's the only one faithful. Do you feel that way sometimes? Yes, we do. We are human. But remember, one of our roles is to have people to pray with us, to have partners with us, and for people to co-walk with us. Reverend Saul always used two words, co-walk. Co-work. And me, I'm the passionate guy, I say co-weep with you. Somebody who be able to understand your sorrow. Okay? And so, Elijah, God tell him that, don't worry, I give you partners along the way. And that's what we need. I cannot do it by myself. In fact, I always encourage Peter, I say, you are doing the much of the work. I'm actually the person who's just buzzing around. Because you always have to have somebody to rely on, two people to do the work. Okay, so remember, however alone you feel, however afraid you feel, however abandoned you feel, that is just a feeling. My wife is a psychologist. And sometimes people tell her, I'm hurt. And my wife always tells them, you are not hurt, okay? Your feelings are hurt. You know what I mean? Feelings come and feelings go. But our focus must be the Lord, not on the feelings, okay? Must be on the Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Ask yourself, are you running away from God's people? Are you running away from God's will? And you running away from God's work. Ask yourself, Do you face your enemies? Or do you flee your enemies or fear them? Pray to the Lord. Are you doing your part to contain evil, to counter evil, and sometimes even to confront evil? Do you choose the easy way out, die in the desert, lodging in the cave, or burying your head in the sand? Remember, God is not powerless, and you are not too, and people around can help you. So just pray and ask the Lord to give you the strength to either heal, to forgive, and to reconcile. Dear Lord, just pray, Lord, that you help us. Lord, we find out we are very mortal. Lord, we find out sometimes we can be very mean, and sometimes our feelings just get in the way of your word. Pray for help us, Lord, that we may be able to, first of all, confront ourselves and see how you're at work, Lord. And there are people out there who need us, and there are people out there who can support us. Pray, Lord, that you will help us, that we may not give up, because, Lord, you never gave up on us, and you never gave up on Hong Kong, you never gave up on Chinese people around the world, or even everybody, Lord, who is your people. Help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We thank God for today's timely message through Pastor Yap's sermon.